This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Normally, we're preparing for the Cowboys game, but we'll still have another show before the Cowboys play. But the question remains, what have you learned about the Cowboys so far this season?
Corey? I learned you guys were wrong about Luck. How lucky did the Cowboys get last night? They're going to play their next game, not against Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah, or so, J.C. Horn.
You couldn't ask for better luck, honestly.
Mike, I was watching a video. Do you know who Stan Lee is? Have you ever heard of Stan Lee?
Didn't he make Marvel?
Yes, exactly. Do you know what he said if he was a superhero, what power he would want? He said luck. He said he never created a character like that, but he was like, luck is great. I mean, you get shot at, you're going to get missed. You get in a fight, you know you're going to win. Luck's the best thing to have on your side. So I'm just going to go with Stan Lee and say that maybe being lucky is good.
Okay, but that aside, what have you learned?
Because
I bet you already knew that luck was good, if it was good luck.
Yeah.
What have you learned about the Cowboys so far this season? Because one of the things I was going to say is it fair to say that we've learned the defense is going to be a crazy ride?
Yeah. No, I think when you say crazy ride, like positive crazy ride, or just some days it's going
to
be awful?
I don't know if I would say that. Like I said, I go back to that three-play chain to start the Chargers game. Is for two plays, they look like the worst defense in the NFL, and then they get a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
So I say crazy ride where there's going to be times where you're like, oh, yeah, worst defense. And other times you're going to be like, damn right, best turnover forcing defense in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I've learned the most is that Dan Quinn's organization and creativity is real. Coming in, because at training camp, I was like, man, what's he going to do with all these bodies? Like, all these guys have a different skill set. What's he going to do with all these guys? And they are, you know, moving them up and down and doing all different things with whoever their opponent is. But I really expected them to be the worst defense in the league. And they have something that's quality right now, and that's getting the ball back in the offense's hands.
But the first part of what you said, that seems sustainable. I know yesterday
Dan Quinn?
Yeah. Okay. And his organizational skills making an impact. Because we talked about the turnovers thing. Like, it's not sustainable at this level. Like, I hope it's sustainable at a high level. But so you believe in Dan Quinn now.
Yeah, and I think even more than that is, like, I learned that his relationship with Micah Parsons is something that we can follow for a while. Like, you hear Mike McCarthy talk about Micah Parsons this morning. He's like, there's nothing the guy can't do. But that we keep trying to find places for him. He's just a football player. Watching him in practice, as soon as he put the pads on, we learned what this guy was.
Did you want to hear that clip,
absolutely,
perhaps,
yes,
Corey? I believe that is cut number 14. Were you even a little surprised by Micah's performance? You'll have to trust me on this.
Oh, he's an impact player. I mean, whether it's off the ball or at the line of scrimmage, I mean, you can see that, you know, as soon as we put the pads on. I mean, you know, in the off-season program, you know, in the helmets and shorts work, you could definitely see his range and his ability to close on the ball carry is special. So to see him play on the line of scrimmage in training camp, you know, I've been impressed since the start of that. Nothing he does is a surprise anymore. He's an extremely gifted and a very natural, instinctive football player.
So, yeah, that's kind of the same thing. Like, that relationship, you hear Dan Quinn, he's always like, hey, I don't want to put too much on his plate, but he keeps finding new ways to add something to the plate. And then hearing Micah Parsons with the whole process of like, hey, I'm a wild bull. You got to let me run. You can't just, you know, keep me pacing back and forth. I love the kid's confidence and desire to eat right now.
I think what I've I think what I've learned so far is, and there might be a little bit of hopefulness wrapped into this, but feel free to let us know what you have learned. 877-881-1053. I like this one from the 616, learning to win despite the injuries. That is a huge deal right there. I think I've learned that we have finally figured out the proper way to deploy our backfield.
Mm.
Like, it has turned into this really bizarre competition, and I get it. Like, when we asked, you know what's weird is when we tweeted out the thing, is Zeke still a playmaker? People are like, why y'all trying to start this division? And I was like, that wasn't really the point of that at all. I loved the way the backs got deployed in that game against the Chargers. They got almost equivalent touches throughout the game, and both were effective. And both were effective at multiple facets of the game. Zeke, clearly still your best blocker by a mile compared to Pollard. Pollard, more explosive. Both effective.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the Cowboys have learned the proper way to deploy the two backs.
Okay, that's a good belief right there. Mike, do you disagree?
No, I think that's a great one because mine was more general. I don't know if I've learned this completely. This is tough after two games, right? Because
for sure,
what did we learn with the Rangers after 36 games?
I thought they were going to go 500, baby.
And so just after two games, it's tough to say, oh, I know that this is going to be this or that. But I think what I've seen after two games is the Cowboys can be the best offense in the NFL. I think that's a very high bar to put. But I think watching Dak this year, I just think they can be. That's a very high expectation with watching Kansas City play football and stuff. But
would you be surprised then if they weren't, let's say, a top five offense?
Yes.
Okay, I think I would too.
Because it looks like their defense is still going to give up quite a few points, quite a few yards. So it's not like they can, I think, have a lot of easy fourth quarters.
Okay.
Right? And so when you don't have a lot of easy fourth quarters, like Buffalo last week, Buffalo was able to shut down the game with 20 minutes left. They're like, game over. Don't need to show anything else. We got to play this team again. Shut it down. Let's just get out of here with our 35-0 victory. Make sure we don't screw anything up here. So I think that there's going to be not a whole bunch of games where the Cowboys can say, we're up by 17 points here with 20 minutes to go. We're probably in great shape here because I think the defense can give up big plays in a hurry to worry you.
Yes. I mean, and that's what that goes into the, it's going to be a ride with this defense. From the 2-4, Corey, I hope you agree with this.
Mm.
I learned that we're 15 games away from playoff football, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. And maybe a Monday night playoff football game. I want to
yes!
talk to you about that with Jerry.
I do not think I would want that spot.
I haven't done the math on this. Somebody texted this in and said, can we talk about how the offense doesn't do anything with the turnover?
Okay.
Do you have the numbers here? Do they have 0 points off of turnover so far?
And that
is, I don't know,
going to be problematic. I don't know if it is zero, but the number is exceedingly low.
Okay.
And that's going to be problematic because when you lead the league in turnovers force, you should obviously lead the league in points off of turnovers, but that is actually not the case. And that's going to be the issue because you know what's fascinating about that is how many times do you view the turnover as a win no matter what? Because you kind of thought the defense was just going to give up points. But the turnover is supposed to be the double win,
mm-hmm.
right? Because not only did you not give up points, you put points on the board. And so that's the 6-point, 10-point, 14-point swing.
Well, they did in the second quarter of the first game, they turned turnovers into 10 points. So I guess that's quality, but
that is.
Let's make that 14. You know, let's, Kevin, you said that last week. I'm sick and tired of field goals. And then they went out there and won the game off a field goal. So I'm pretty sure you were ticked off about that.
Yeah, no, I was ticked off when we lined up for the field goal, and then I was like, all is forgiven.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
From the 2-1-4, I've learned that we're winning the next 7 games.
How did you learn that?
Because they saw them go head-to-head with the best team,
okay,
and then win another game against a solid team on the road.
I like telling
you, all of a sudden, the Panthers game got a lot easier after last night.
And they will still go into that 3-0, but with, it looks like no J.C. Horn, it looks like no Christian McCaffrey, like, there's no question you feel better about that. And from the 830, y'all think the Cowboys will make the playoffs? Yes. Like, we literally made a wager on that before the season. Yep. So
I'm going to lose that bet. They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, because there's nothing. If you thought that, like, I get it.
Unless of, obviously, Dak.
Yes.
As long as Dak stays healthy, they make the playoffs.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Got Jerry Jones coming up at 10:30. But next, KP apparently asks for a trade and then changed his mind. How are we feeling about all this? We'll discuss next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We'll talk with Jerry Jones at about 10:30. But right now, got a story up on 105throughthefan.com. Is Tim McMahon on the Hoops Collective podcast said that Porzingis was on the verge of requesting a trade away from Dallas.
Here we
and
go.
Then he changed his mind. Let's go to it.
At the end of last year, Porzingis wanted to be traded. My understanding is he is ready for he feels like he has a fresh start with the coaching change, and that, you know, he's had the healthy offseason. He's been able to work not just on his game, but on his body some more. That he's kind of coming back with a refreshed feel. But no, at the end of last year, he wasn't going to come out and ask for a trade. You know, like, he's smart enough to understand the optics of that, and that
he's already done that once.
Exactly. But by the end of last year, when he stood in the corner and checked the win for an entire playoff series, he was hoping that he would be traded. From what I gather, he's coming back optimistic now.
All right.
Does that change everything?
That's actually what I was going to ask the question of, was the only reason he wanted to stay was because Carlisle isn't the coach anymore.
And it kind of sounds like that is the case. Yeah. Or I know they said broader in terms of the fresh start with new people in place and feeling healthy, but it kind of sounds like that was at least partially the reasoning. Do you think this will change his... I don't know. I wanted to say, do you think it'll change his role? But I guess him just being healthy would change his role to a certain extent.
I will say this is it. Like, for the people that are optimistic about Porzingis, and I would say 25% of Maverick fans still really like him and think he did nothing wrong and didn't cause any problems for the Mavericks last year. And it was all somebody else who caused it. Porzingis was great. Porzingis played in all the games he wanted to play in, and he wanted to play in all the other 20-something he missed. They just didn't allow him to play in those games. This is it. There's no more excuse. There's no more, oh, well, it was somebody else's fault. Oh, Jason Kidd didn't use me properly. I wanted to play in all the games, but Casey Smith demanded after Snowmageddon, and we hadn't played in 2 weeks, demanded I sit out the next two games because we only had 14 days off because of the snow. And they made a fake injury up that he got hurt during practice in the 10 to 15 days they didn't play a basketball game. So I would say... I'm hopeful because this is it. He's the only guy that can change the future of the Mavericks because Luke is freaking arguably the best player in the NBA. He just needs some help. And the guy who can improve this team the most, and it's not even close, like nobody can even compare, is Porzingis is the guy who can improve this team the most. If he stays the same, Luke is going to leave. I'm not saying after this season's over, but there's very little they can do because if he doesn't have much trade value now, because I think the Mavericks would have been interested in trading him, but if he didn't have much trade value now for the Mavericks, what's his trade value going to be if he plays in 50% of the games and is not really that impactful in the games he does play?
Let me ask you, what's the height? I know he's 7 foot, but what's like the best that they can be together? Like,
dual all stars,
where he's just as much of an impact on the team as Luka.
Oh God, no.
Yeah,
like, he can't get that high.
I don't think that either.
That's like saying, can Pippen get as good as Michael Jordan?
Pippen played all the games.
I think the optimum. I'm not saying the players are the same, but I think the optimum system would be, you're thinking Giannis and Chris Middleton, right? Like, you've got the one guy who's the guy, but if he has an off night or is sick or injured or whatever, you have the other guy that doesn't always take over, but if you need him to, he can win you a game and he can be an all-star.
But you're not asking him to bomb threes from midcourt all the time, right?
No.
Like, he's got to develop so much more of his game this year, and that's what Jason Kidd's biggest task is.
I don't, I think people waiting for that are going to be disappointed. I think his game is what his game is and always will be. It's just how do you better utilize that is going to be his challenge. If you're asking him to do new things, just everything we've seen to learn about him leads me to believe that that's not going to work.
Like what, he can't really dribble around people. He's too tall and not gifted enough ball handling wise to do it. So you have to put him in positions to catch and shoot or to make small movements. Like he can't do what Dirk did from 15 feet away, be like kind of a post or catch the ball at the top of the key and then make moves. Like he's just not, he's not as talented as Dirk with the basketball.
He's got to do things, but he's got to do things that use it as height as the advantage. Like you got to get him in those situations. And
I think more of those quick turn shots.
Right.
I think being a rim protector, not like a typical rim protector, but with his height, he can alter trajectories of people to the basket and alter shots. I think
so be a Dikembe.
I mean, okay.
And I said this the day he was traded, is he has to be everything that we wanted Sean Bradley to be.
Okay.
Sean, to me, he's closer to Sean Bradley than he is Dirk Nowitzki. And he's kind of this combo in between. And there's this, can you be as good as Dirk Nowitzki? I don't think he'll ever be as close to as good as Dirk. Yeah. Will he ever be as inconsistent or as bad as Sean Bradley? No, I don't think he'll. Right now, he's like in the middle. And we need him to be way better than in the middle of a he's kind of like Sean Bradley and kind of like Dirk, but he even leans to me, because I'm not as optimistic about him, he leans to me more of, he reminds me of Sean Bradley than he does of Dirk Nowitzki.
By the way, super random, as long as we're talking about big, tall people that didn't ever really, like, achieve what you were hoping for.
Oh, is this the wrestling news?
Yeah, did you see that Satnam Singh signed with AEW Wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Are you excited about that?
Is he going to be the masked singer?
Is he the first ever, because he was the first ever guy drafted, that's the only reason we drafted him. We like wasted a pick to make somewhat history. Is this going to, is he going to be the first, I
he's
forget where
he's
from.
He's going to be the
next
big show.
He is from India.
Okay, so is there, has there been?
Yeah, no, there's definitely been like the great Kali who did acting and stuff like that. So I don't actually know how they're going to use him, but I am oddly intrigued.
He's a big giant dude.
Yeah, wrestling's a circus. Right? If you have a circus, you need things that people are like, what is that?
That
you need a bearded lady, right?
That actually is a pretty accurate description. That's what you need in wrestling.
God, there were so many horrible picks that, like, I can't remember his name, but he was from Nevada. And I went to the first preseason game, and I'm like, he can't even run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's probably, you probably need the ability to actually, like, look like you can run. And I remember asking Dirk at his event, I was like, hey, remember this guy? Like, he couldn't even run. And he just started laughing. He's like, I know.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Kevin, Corey, Mike. Great to be on with you this morning.
It is a great day, Jerry. Jerry, I'm doing a really cool event tonight at the Star with Charlotte. I'm really excited about this. And, you know, as what we do, I got to make sure I loosen everything up just a little bit. How do I get Charlotte to laugh tonight?
Well, I'll tell you what. Talk a little about how great it's going with her Medal of Honor work that we're doing. We're having quite a national fundraiser relative to the Medal of Honor recipients. And over our great museum that will be right there next to the stadium in Arlington. And at this particular juncture, in COVID, she's up over $100 million that
wow.
she's raised for the Medal of Honor recipients. And this is one of the great efforts, not hers, but the Medal of Honor recipients want to use that patriotism, want to use that recognition of their service to the country to say, hey, this is what America is about. This is what patriotism is about. And so it's quite an effort, quite an undertaking. And the goal is $180 million. And boy, is she tearing it up.
Yeah, actually, Jerry, I mean, while we were out there in Oxnard, Kevin and I had stopped in and talked with Flo. You had Flo come out there, and I know you had a nice long conversation with him after you walked off. We interviewed him and had him on the show, and his story was absolutely phenomenal.
Well, the things that those Medal of Honor recipients have done for this country are just beyond belief. And what a great way to say to America and say to the country, this is the kinds of messages that we want to be thinking about as far as not only just the youth, but all of us together. And this is a great step in that direction.
We talked about this earlier in the show. I'd love to get your insights. For better or worse, what do you feel like you've learned about the team through these first two games?
Well, I've seen resiliency. We obviously, between our injuries as well as the COVID, most clubs are having to deal with some sort of same situation. But our ability to use our young people, and when I say young people, we've got some players that have just joined the team this past year that are really making a big contribution. They aren't rookies, but boy, they had some great training camps, and it's consistently showing up in these first two ball games. But the numbers of players that we're using, of course, the poster child, poster boy for all of this is Micah in terms of his position flex. But just that, to me, says it all about how our coaches are utilizing the flex within our offense, within our defense, within the personnel, and really making positive things happen on the field. And that's going to do nothing but get better.
When you hired Dan Quinn, was the idea, hey, we might not have all the right players, but we're going to find as many players that you can utilize as possible? Because I heard you talk about his creativity earlier this week with Sean and RJ, and it does seem like, you know, Dan had lots of input on the types of players he wanted to get.
Well, that's and I've always believed in that. I've involved coaches when we're drafting or in free agency. I've always involved the coaching perspective. And you say, well, you know, a lot of people would think, well, duh. Well, no, you got a huge scouting perspective, and that's as it should be. They spend 100% of their time year-round evaluating players, not just the ones that are in college, but the ones that are on other teams, other teams' practice squads. And so all of it comes together. But, yes, the input from the coaches, it was evident in free agency. It was evident in the draft. A lot of these players fit what we're trying to do. That's the key. They do fit, but they've got their athletes. And they really have the ability to not only have a different role, but they have the ability, to, of course, with their athletic ability to execute.
Now, a lot of people are caught up about Nick Sirianni wearing that Beat Dallas shirt. I know usually we see in a nice suit, but when you're lounging around or relaxing, do you have any T-shirts or anything like that that say inflammatory things about NFC East other teams?
Well, listen, I've had enough over the years. Philadelphia, there's you know, they take such pride in basically creating slogans and creating different types of expressions. And my hero is Drew Pearson, for standing up there in Philadelphia at the draft and just absolutely putting it on them in terms of what's there. But make no mistake about it now, that inspires their fan base. It inspires, it probably inspires their players. And there's no rougher place to play in the whole country than to play there in Philadelphia. So I've got some great stories about my times in and around the games and in and around the times that we've been in Philadelphia. And there's no question they're a great rivalry.
Well, that being said, you know, there are three gentlemen at halftime that are going to be getting their Hall of Fame rings on Monday night, and Drew Pearson being one of them. Are you going to say, hey, you know what, go ahead and take the mic and give one of those speeches again?
Absolutely. And he'll have the mic, and Jimmy Johnson will have the mic, and so will Harris. And the point is that all of them certainly deserve the recognition of getting that ring from Big David Baker. Out there in front of our fans, and hopefully where you can cut it with a knife, the atmosphere and enthusiasm by playing Philadelphia at the same time. But it's certainly Monday night's going to be a great night, long time coming for these great contributors to the Dallas Cowboys.
Is there anything that Jimmy Johnson could possibly say that he hasn't already told you before or y'all haven't already had conversations about?
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of things. Jimmy's a bright guy, and he's got a lot mentally. And so I'm sure there's a lot of things. It's no secret, of course. We were together very young when we were very early years of our college and through college, and then we had known each other a lot of years before the Cowboys. And so, I'll tell you what. All of our minutes actually could be filled with the times that we've had together. And I'm talking really good times. I'm talking positive times here, nothing negative.
Are you still waiting for the right timing to announce him into the Ring of Honor? Is there a right timing for that?
Well, again, the one thing that we did not want to do in any way is take away from this great recognition of going in the NFL Hall of Fame. And so I didn't want to take away not only from his accomplishment of entering the NFL Hall of Fame, but from the other players as well. And so Monday night's going to be all about the Hall of Fame and David Baker, and as it really should be. And so we'll get to the other stuff relative to the Ring of Honor later on, and that's not to diminish it. It's just to say we can do both.
There you go. The first two Cowboys games have been the most viewed games, like the most viewed television shows, Jerry, and a lot of fans have been, they've been clamoring to get NFL. Like, what is it right now? Like, you really did a lot of effort ramping up the Cowboys, pushing Hard Knocks and all those things. What's it like to see all the fans' interest level back right now?
Well, it's very rewarding when you see that certainly the preseason games and the things such as Hard Knocks, how it primes the pump, how it generates the interest. I knew a long time ago that one of the special things about the NFL is, frankly, you can have year-round interest in the NFL. But we are certainly excited over the fact that the viewership is up by really over 14% from this time a year ago. And what really makes that special is that television viewing itself is down 9%. So you can see how that is completely reverse of where the tide of viewership is. Yet on the other hand, we have that in the NFL. And for the Dallas Cowboys to be in front of 25 million people two times with our first two ball games is just about as rewarding and exciting as it can be. And there's no question our team has a lot of interest around the country. And it really has a lot of interest when it's playing good football to be trite when I say that. And I mean, I understand. But the fact that we have 25 million viewers, I've often said that stadium was built certainly for a great place for the Cowboys to play in front of 100,000 people. But the real icing on the cake for that stadium, and the reason I spend about 50% more out there, is because it goes to 25 million and 30 million people. And so when Al Michaels and those guys are talking it up, they're looking for real meat on the bone, and our stadium does that. So all of this is a great way to start this season, and I think does show that the more exciting time. For instance, in our area alone, in the Dallas area, we have 21% more people that viewed our first two games than did a year ago. And so all of that really is inspirational, and we've got to play good football.
Now, if you play good football, well, hopefully you can skip the wild card weekend altogether, but what do you think about the super wild card weekend and expanding a game out to Monday? Do you think people might complain about that being a competitive disadvantage if you were to win that game?
No, I don't. I think that's will be a part of getting in the playoffs. It's there. You measure it up as the weeks ahead go toward it. And that's just one of the honors of getting in the playoffs. But I love it from a standpoint of how it helps, in my mind, create additional interest, additional viewership to have that primetime game on Monday night. So that's great. I'm aware of it and was aware of it when we were thinking about doing it. We have our 17 games this year, and that really allows us to have some real flexibility in our scheduling.
Okay. All right. And so Monday night was picked specifically because you wanted the primetime viewing then, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But, when you say specifically, it just follows. That audience is there, and that audience is receptive to watching that game, and that just expands the viewership of the NFL.
Now, we saw earlier this week, not surprising, I know DeMarcus Ware will be eligible for the Hall of Fame. I was hoping we could kind of pick your brain there and get your thoughts on DeMarcus Ware as a Hall of Famer and then somebody we've championed for a long time, Darren Woodson, as a potential Hall of Famer.
Well, I think both are Hall of Famers without hesitation. Darren's career, in essence, in my mind, really speaks for himself. Certainly, when I look at the makeup of the Hall of Fame recipients, Darren Woodson is right there among them. Relative to DeMarcus Ware, I'm reminded of the fun I had with Bill Parcells when we drafted DeMarcus and. He wanted initially to go with the first pick and go with Spears, and he was pretty adamant about it. And so we kind of had a lot of confrontation as we were coming up to the pick. Well, it came time to turn it in, and I turned in DeMarcus Ware. And Bill was writing on a legal pad, and he slipped over in front of me and said, if said player doesn't have average 10 sacks a year in his first 3 years with the Cowboys, then Mr. Jones owes me and my significant other a trip on his G5 five times a year. And that had signature lines on it. Well, I wrote back and said, well, Mr. Jones so agrees, except if player does have over 10 sacks a year, the plane will go five trips a year with Parcells' significant other, but without Bill, just Mr. Jones.
He turned out to be a good pick there.
Yeah.
Turned out to be a good pick
and had a lot of fun doing it. Really did. We kept that one.
Jerry, before we let you go, the Philadelphia fans, from what we gather, they're the nastiest fans out there. And I know nasty might be the wrong word, but
no, that's the right word.
They're nasty fans. Do you want that type of environment Monday night from the Cowboys fans too, for people to come in and be like, oh, it's nasty in this place right now?
Hey, I want the Cowboy fans. Because we get to them being Cowboy fans, and I like it when we go to Philadelphia too. But I do want to give them a big helping of what the Cowboy fans can be like, especially if we give our fans something to get on top and really stay excited about. I've had so many experiences there in Philadelphia, frankly, some of them have been distasteful to some degree, but never to the degree that it didn't make me want to kick the you-know-what. And so that just adds fuel to the fire.
I hope you won't want to kick my you-know-what for asking this question. I don't know if you can speak on this or not, but what are your thoughts about the continuing lawsuit with the Rams moving? I know that, like, you're involved to a certain degree. Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, of course, I can appreciate their St. Louis's concern or St. Louis's interest in losing an NFL team. And I see that. I know how special they are. And so it's a product of that. I know firsthand. I'm very familiar with Missouri, and I'm very familiar with how the Rams operated in Missouri and Stan Kroenke's commitment and the type of sensitivity that he had and his love for Missouri. I know all of that firsthand, and it was outstanding. And so every opportunity was given for the Rams to remain in St. Louis, in my view. So having said that, I think that hopefully this thing will seek its right level.
Thank you very much, Jerry. We appreciate it. And obviously, we're looking forward to Monday night against the Eagles. We'll catch up with you next week.
Okay, guys. Good to be on with you. Thank you.
There you go. Jerry Jones brought to you on the Romeo's Pizza Hotline. Get game-winning pizza delivery and takeout at romeospizza.com.
You want to get a blowout win? Everybody wants a blowout win, right? But these field goal games are really starting to drive me nuts. I don't know if I can handle...
They're great for viewership, I'm sure. But, yeah, I would absolutely want to relax on one of these games. By the way, wanted to throw it out since we brought up the super, what is being called the super wild card weekend. It's going to go like this. Like we had seen with the expansion of the playoffs, you'd seen the three games Saturday, three games Sunday. Now what they're going to do is go two games Saturday at 3:35 and 7:15, and then three games on Sunday in your typical Sunday spot. So 12:05, 3:40, 7:15, give or take. And then they're going to add a game on Monday at 7:15. And I get it. Like if you're in that game going into it, it seems beneficial to get that extra day. But on the flip side, there's no way they'll schedule somebody to be in the Monday game and then to be in a Saturday game for the divisional round. But
you know the NFL don't care.
That's true.
They're going to look at it and go, what's our best matchup?
You would think that they wouldn't make you go from Monday to Saturday, but I do think some folks are going to gripe. Like, whatever team wins that Monday game, I think they're going to gripe about having to turn around on Sunday, especially if that other team played on Saturday or whatever.
But, Mike, it won't matter, right? Because just like Thursday night, they gripe about having to play on Thursday night football after a Sunday game, but the NFL is like, we're going to push forward, right?
I just wonder... I don't know how to do it because you want the AFC and NFC championship games on Sunday.
Yes.
Because you can move the Monday night winner to Monday night the next.
For the divisional round.
You would have to play then Sunday in the championship game because I don't think then they would say, well, gosh, whoever wins that Monday night, we're going to have a Sunday game, AFC, let's just say, then NFC championship games Monday night. I don't think they want to put that on Monday night, because then once you get the bye, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
You have the bye in between your championship games and Super Bowl, but I don't think they want to run three Monday night football games in a row.
And are we even talking about that? This is just Monday for the wild card round,
right? But it screws over the team that wins.
Yeah, sure.
I know Jerry said not a concern. I get it from the standpoint of, well, sure, that's an extra TV spot. That could be extra money. I wonder... How will you balance that? Hey, we just won. Mm-hmm. We're still in the playoffs versus, hold up, we get one less day?
Yeah, you're not worried about it, man. I think you're just now it's time to go win game two. You know, we're on our march now. Kevin, but that doesn't take away anything on the march to, is it 20? Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for 20 straight wins.
Sure.
If you've gotten the wild card, then you didn't get 20 straight. You wouldn't have gotten 17 straight.
That's true. Now I can live with 19 straight.
Unless somebody else had 17 straight, and now you got in your division, that's weird.
I'll tell you something here and right now. If you won 17 games in a row, how the hell did you get slotted in that game? But also, I wouldn't give an F when I was playing. I was like, we're going to beat you just like we beat every other team.
I like this text, Kevin, from the 737. What would y'all's reaction be if Jerry ended it with, okay, guys, love you? Because Daryl Johnson once told me Merry Christmas, and I just went right past it and didn't say it back to him, and I always felt terrible about that. So would I have to say love you back to Jerry, or do you think I'd even notice?
I think you do.
Would you say it back?
I would be like, I think you're nice. I like how we're progressing.
Uh-huh.
And we'll see where it goes.
Okay. All right.
Actually, that's not true. I would cave to the pressure. And I would say
would
I love you.
We know that you're afraid of the word love.
What if he did that? He's like, all right, boys, love you. And then he waited and he goes, now, aren't you going to say it back?
I'm going to tell you right now, wouldn't be the first time in my life I caved to the pressure and said love you to somebody that I did not love. So
wow.
I felt bad about that in the aftermath.
Take that, Mike.
So you took that all the way to getting married? And
No. Oh. Not that person.
Okay, sorry.
He's never said I love you to me.
You know what? I'll see what I can do about that, Mike. I really do feel bad for what's going on right now, though.
That's awesome.
I don't think that he.
Why didn't we ask for a loan from Jerry to get this money back?
I think that probably violates all kinds of FCC payola and plugola rules.
I mean, if Jerry's giving out loans,
he's just like, "Hey, I'll loan you."
Okay, look, that's not the question. We ask about the loan. If Jerry just said, do you guys want a loan? That's a different deal. But you can't actively ask for that loan. That's not okay.
I can't.
No, you cannot.
But you can.
No, none of us can on air.
Can Mike?
No, not on air. Not Reggie, not Carter, not Spittle, not Tim.
Reggie talks to him first, though. So Reggie,
if that's off air,
like,
that's fine. That's fine.
So Reggie, next time.
I would not advise that from a professional standpoint, though.
Don't worry about what
I'm a professional?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Always professional. Coming up next, live from the Star, we will talk with Mickey Spagnola right here on 105.3 The Fan.